to announce this prior to the start of the meeting. Attendees who have joined via teleconference, please place your phones or audio connection on mute until such time as you're presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. Attendees who have joined via teleconference, please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Meeting logistics. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@innovationalphavista.org. Public may also provide comments during the public comment section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the charter school's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting of Alta Vista Innovation High School regular board meeting, operated by Western Educational Corporation, the California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Tuesday, November 28, 2023, at 2:30 p.m. to order. Roll call and establishment of quorum. Michael Adams is here. Claudette Beck.
Here.
Frank Lucasa. Frank?
Here. Sorry.
Thank you. And Dr. David Vasquez.
Here.
And we are all present and accounted for and do have a quorum for today's meeting. Vanessa, will you please do the Learning Center's roll call?
Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza for the Learning Center's roll call. All Learning Centers, can you please unmute your line for the roll call? Do I have a representative on for Adelanto?
Present.
Thank you. Apple Valley?
Present.
Fontana?
Present.
Hesperia?
Present.
Compton Avenue in Los Angeles?
Present.
Whittier Boulevard, Los Angeles? Do I have a site? I feel like someone's not on you.
Please ensure you're on mute during the roll call. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Figueroa Street, Los Angeles.
Present.
I'm going to circle back because I'm not sure if I did Whittier Boulevard, Los Angeles.
Present.
Rosecrans and Gardena.
Present.
Inglewood.
Present.
Great. Rancho Cucamonga.
Present.
Second Street in San Bernardino.
Present.
Highland Avenue in San Bernardino.
Present.
San Jacinto.
Present.
Indiana Avenue, Riverside.
Present.
Chicago Avenue, Riverside.
Present.
And Spruce Street, Riverside.
Present.
Thank you, Learning Centers. This concludes the site roll call for AVI.
Thank you, Vanessa. And again, please ensure you are on mute when you're not speaking to the board, because we are getting a lot of feedback for some reason this morning, this afternoon. Pledge of Allegiance, Mr. Picasso, will you please do this?
My pleasure. Okay. Please stand. Place your right hand on your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Frank. Staff introductions, corporate officers.
Well, thank you, President Adams. That's for Learning Centers Online. My name is Jeff Brown, Executive Officer. Good afternoon.
Thank you. School Superintendent.
Good afternoon. Shelley Haynes, Superintendent of Schools.
School staff.
Excuse me, President Adams.
Are you back?
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Corporate Transit Officer, hello everyone.
Okay. School staff.
Julie Fada, Area Superintendent.
Ken Larson, Principal.
Memo Velasco, Principal.
Haley Malozzi, Principal.
Lily Childs, Principal.
Angie Sims, Principal.
Dogger Wednesday, Federal Programs Coordinator.
Gary Padilla, College and Career Coordinator.
Colin Offset, Federal and State Programs Coordinator.
And good afternoon. This is Jeff Martino, Vice President, Charter Relations.
Adam Ramirez, Principal.
Anyone else? Okay. School Legal Counsel.
Good afternoon, Bill Thompson, Attorney for the Board.
Thank you. And advisors who are supporting agenda items are presented today.
Good afternoon, President Adam and the Board. This is Gita Sharipi, CFO with LLAC.
Thank you, Gita.
Good afternoon. It's Michelle Lopez, Counsel with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle. And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this time? Any non-refund item E? May your motion to approve the agenda for the November 28, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Mr. Barry Brathgaber, I move we approve the agenda for the November 28, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Dr. David Brathgaber, seconded by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Mike Lanz is aye. Claude Edbeck.
Aye.
Frank Picasso.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item F. May your motion to approve the minutes of the October 17, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
David Rathgaber, I move we approve agenda item 1F.
Thank you.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Dr. David Rathgaber, seconded by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claude Edbeck.
Aye.
Frank Picasso.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item two, consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with the approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. We have five items on the consent agenda. Number one, the board will be asked to approve the revised school safety plan. Number two, the board will be asked to approve the revised COVID-19 plan for resuming in-person instruction, an addendum to the school's health and safety plan. Number three, the board will be asked to approve the E-rate vendor selections. Number four, the board will be asked to approve the updated Sequoia Administrative Resources Agreement. And number five, the board will be asked to approve the updated Scholastic Educational Resources Agreement. Does any board member want to pull any consent agenda item for further discussion at this time? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 5.
David Rathgaber, I move we approve consent agenda items 1 through 5.
Thank you.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Dr. David Rathgaber, seconded by Frank Picasso. Further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claude Edbeck.
Aye.
Frank Picasso.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
That passes with four yes votes. Item three, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, unless a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? Hearing none, were there any written comments submitted to the board prior to the start of the meeting?
Hi, this is Shelley Sands here from the Charter Affairs team here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comments or have requested to speak.
Thank you, Shelley. Item 4, school reports and information. Item A, area superintendent update, Julie Barra.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, board president and board members. This is our data update to start off LP5. These reports give top-level data points and important metrics such as student demographics, enrollment, credit completion, such as student enrollment, credit completion, and graduation rate, with a snapshot of our schools at the specific time periods. As of October 20th, there were 2,435 students enrolled, and I know we've been enrolling quite a bit more since then. The next slide shows a breakdown of additional enrollment and academic data. Utilization has increased from the last report to 87% with a 2.64 average credit completion and 1.46 average core credit completion. We're currently implementing a strategic focus on expanding tutoring to more students to improve core credit completion as a part of our comprehensive student and improvement support improvement plan. We're continuing to look to enhance, deepen in our educational partner engagement. We held a quarter two PAC and ELAC meeting at our Watts Learning Center and had a great turnout with 18 students and family members. Keep in mind the total enrollment of Watts is about 100, so that's about 20% of the student population that attended, which I want to give a shout out to the Watts team for that. Students and parents were served dinner and refreshments. Well, important school information was shared, like our 23-24 LCAP infographic, which provides a simplified overview of school-wide goals and budget as our Title I program with important academic supports like intervention program and tutoring. Families were asked to provide feedback on our school programs and how we can improve. Families were also provided our annual survey to take. Also, we had our second Come Get Connected resource fair, and this year we expanded and enhanced in all categories. Over 100 students were exposed to post-secondary options, community resources, and education and employment opportunities. We even had parents attend this year. We brought over 27 community partners and vendors ranging from WIOA partners, colleges and universities, and trade unions and military branches. Students were also treated with food trucks and a gaming truck. Next, we're offering a full and well-rounded educational experience means more than just high-quality academics. So we started an organized athletics program. Students from across the region will be able to attend a field day to be introduced to our new athletics program, which is starting flag football. Students learned about the program requirements, met coaching teams, practice drills, and enjoyed a day of experience, exercise and fun. We plan to expand our sports offering with basketball and soccer in the spring. And I could say I've been attending the sports program, and we have 12 committed students that are playing flag football. And there's three female players that are continuing to get better every time. And if you don't know me, I love sports, and so it's just great to see these kids on the field doing other things. So just been a great turnout for our students. Next, we've had 38 students from all our sites were able to attend the UCSB campus trip, where they were able to get a firsthand view of top California university. Students were able to hear from university advisors speaking current UCSB students, explore the campus by visiting the library, cafeteria, and student union, and interact with other students to share their post-secondary plans. Lastly, our community liaisons, counselors, and site teams have been working hard at work securing workforce development and college information resources for our students. At our Watts site, LA Technical College came and provided a presentation to students on their board program, options ranging from automotive repair to barbering to welding. The U.S. Navy also had a representative come out to share the career and educational doors that can be opened through the service in the Navy. The Winter Organization, or Women in Non-Traditional Employment Roles, an apprenticeship readiness program for women which builds foundational skills for a career in construction, came and presented to both our Los Angeles and Englewood sites. Lastly, our Englewood site held an application workshop for students to participate in dual enrollment in community college. And I welcome the board for any questions. And then if not, if there's no questions, I'll turn it over to Ken Larson.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you, Ms. Parra. First, Janet would love to be here. Unfortunately, she's under the weather.
So she's asked me to pinch it for her. Next slide, please. We had a really great thing happen with Alta Vista Innovation High School. We're one of the winners in the race to submit the financial aid award. We got so many FAFSAs in, the counselors down in LA and up in our region got so many FAFSAs in that we actually received an award on November 8th. And we'd like to thank Ms. Kim Conrad, our regional counselor, for going and accepting that for us. It's quite an honor to be amongst the schools that have done that. Next slide, please. Today, this board meeting, we'd really like to highlight and talk about Tiffany DeBlasio and Bradley Larson. They're our special ed program specialists for the Down the Hill and for the High Desert. They are two wonderful people who work tirelessly, working with our special ed teachers, making sure that we stay compliant, following up, and making sure that we're timely with our IEPs, and that all of our teachers are trained, and all of our admins are trained for the IEPs and such that we participate in. We really appreciate them, and we'd like to give them a shout out at this time. Next slide, please. I'd like to have Ms. Sherry Padilla speak on this, because she was up there at this event. It was really cool. Ms. Padilla.
Thank you, Ken Larson. The construction team for the High Desert got to go up to Idlewild, and we have a partnership with the Girl Scout Ranch up there, and the kids do multiple build-outs. It could be working on cabins or anything up there that they may need, and we go up there twice a year, all paid and free with the camp. So it's a great experience for the construction team. And as you can see, it's male and female building out projects and having a great time.
Thank you, Sherry. The project that they undertook was, I don't know if you're familiar with a yurt, but they built the foundation and support for a yurt, which is a semi-permanent camping structure. They did an amazing job. Next slide, please. Mr. Memo Velasco, principal of Memo Velasco down in Rancho Cucamonga, called a great back-to-school night. They had lots of parents and students show up. You can see Mr. Velasco in the upper right-hand side of the slide. And they were able to reach out to the community and to bring in people and help parents understand what their students can do and what's available for them. Next slide, please. We had a great spirit week the week before Halloween here in the High Desert in Apple Valley, Adelanto, and Hesperia. The students did everything from pumpkin painting to decorating some interesting cookies, I guess that's the way to put it. They painted pictures. We had contests. We had students win best pumpkin. The students dressed in different ways every day, as did the staff. And no matter what they do, they couldn't get me to dress up. I'm not good at that part because I look funny when I do. But we'd like to thank all the staff and students who participated in that. Next slide, please. We also had a wonderful fall festival down at Highland and in San Bernardino where they did something very similar to the High Desert. You can see the staff there dressed up. They had students dressed up. They had snacks. They had treats. They had activities. And they even had students bringing in younger siblings and such to participate with the festivities for Halloween. Next, please. There was a fall festival and a Thanksgiving luncheon in Chicago and at San Jacinto. They celebrated Halloween, they gathered food and such and provided some meals for some of our more needy families. And they did a wonderful job in reaching out to the community and working with them and providing help and need for the needs and wants of their community down there. Next, please. San Jacinto in Chicago went to Cal State San Bernardino for a visit. They had the opportunity to go through and tour the campus and see what it's like to participate in a four-year education. They got to see the library classrooms, walk around the campus, and get a good look at what hopefully we're preparing them for and what we're guiding them towards so that they can have a better life and a better education. Next slide, please. We had, as you know, we received a community schools grant, And as part of this, Dr. Pat Hill and Janet Wilson went to each principal, and each principal had professional development days where we brought our staff together, and they came out and met with every single one of us and all of our staff to talk to us about what we wanted to do with our community schools grant, how we wanted to reach out to the community, how we wanted to get word out about what we do, how we wanted to help the community, how we could touch the hearts and lives of the students. They've now taken that information, and we have a team that's assembling it and collating it, and they're going to be coming back with the things that we can afford, the things that we can do within the grant to actually help and build and develop our relationships within our communities and with our students and their families. Next, please. And that was the end of the presentation. This is for another one. Does the board have any questions?
Any questions or comments from the board? Carry on.
Okay. The next item would be, hang on, do we
go up?
Yes, and I would like to take the opportunity to turn that over to Ms. Sherry Padilla to present on the WIOA place.
Thank you. I'm just going to touch base with a few of the important facts that stood out to me when my team gave me all the data. You could briefly skim through the slide and see some more. We are actually expanding our Operation New Hope and Equus partnership down to San Bernardino and Riverside sites so we could have some more WIOA partners on all of our sites and giving them the ongoing services that they need since we are a WIOA school. And within those services that we're offering, some of them, you can see some of the certifications, but I really want to point out that John Woodcock at the Chicago and San Jacinto, he's our JAG specialist, and he's had 32 out of 46 students do a career credential, which is food handling, forklift, or security guards, or he's doing driver permit behind the wheel. So we offer that for our students through the WIOA programs. 12 out of his 46 students have gained employment. 6 got a bank account. And 8 are pending their written test so they could do their driving certifications. And the last one I want to point out is his McDonald's interviews that he does. So what he does is he gathers about 5 to 10 students and he walks them down to the nearest McDonald's. And he gets them all an interview on the spot. And out of the 5 last time that went, 3 out of the 5 got hired within a day or two. So just some shout-outs for my team that are doing awesome jobs with WIOA and JAG and Stephanie Dykstra, who does MOUs for the region. I'm very proud of the team and what they've accomplished so far. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, we'll move on to item C, finance update, Dita Shrinke.
Thank you, board. I'd like to bring your attention to the Hamni line of credit update you'll see on the screen. You can also find it in your packet. And this is updated as of October 31st, 2023. You will see the line of credit on the first line for the school. The expiration date is January 3rd, 2024. Currently, we're working with the bank to extend the line of credit for another year, and we don't see any issues with that. They've already reviewed the covenant and the calculations that we do for the school in order to qualify the school for the continuation of the line of credit. The current interest rate is at 9%, and that's it on this section. And then on the lower section, LLAC's promissory note, also the school has a promissory note with the with LLAC. At this time, they have drawn from the line of credit at a fixed rate of 6%, but it's estimated that the school will pay back all of it by June of 2024 when they reconcile their final funding. And that is it for the line of credit. And then as far as the funding for the school, we don't anticipate any changes for this fiscal year. I know that throughout the year, we kept hearing that there were budget cuts for the fiscal year, even though we had the budget done and approved. And then the governor put some money back for the one-time funding. And then now we have some additional funding for Proposition 28. But we don't anticipate any cuts. at this time. As you all know, California taxes were extended, for income taxes were extended to November. So the state kind of is unknown as far as the how much revenue they're going to receive. So we think by the time they reconcile and receive all the tax payments in November, it'll be closer to January when the governor normally does his budget update for next year. So that's a January revision for the 24-25 for next year. So I think if any changes, it'll be for the next fiscal year. And then as far as the federal funding for the school received Title I, and we think it's either going to be flat, same funding as this year, or a little bit less, potential and 1% cut. So that's really it as far as my update. If any questions, I'd be happy to discuss. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item D, Title I Program Evaluation for School Year 2022-2023, Colin
Opseth. Good afternoon, Board President Adams and esteemed board members. Thank you for my presentation this afternoon on the Title I eval for Alta Vista, and I hope that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your families. It's been a busy school year for us, and it's hard to believe that we're only a couple of weeks away from spending some Christmas time with our families. And just wanted to say we've been really busy days this year. So a lot has happened, but some positive feedback that I'd like to share as part of our eval, annual eval process. And as a Title I school, we're required to complete a quantitative and qualitative evaluation of our efforts to support intervention for our students. The program evaluation I'm presenting covers the 22-23 school year, and it begins on page 349 and ends on page 350 of your school board packet. Page 349 is the quantitative evaluation, and that is based on our LCAP Goal 1 Action 7, which is the Title I goal to support intervention programs, personnel, and students. And Alta Vista is, as we know, a school-wide Title I school, and that's how we use our Title I funding, is to support all students. Versus the beginning when we were a targeted program. And that means that we provide intervention assistance and we track data for all students. And one quantitative measurement of our program is the number of students that complete the NWEA assessment. This past year, 2,257 students completed the NWEA reading test. The average Lexile on the reading test was 924.64 points in the first instance, with a second average of 998.67, which we assess multiple times per year. So we look to see growth throughout the year, and we saw an average of 17.5% improvement in scores. And we're proud to share that. That's been a real strong focus this past year and this year as well, in our data tracking on our tutoring supports and our credit completion. We think that that's part of the reason why it grew so much. We also track credit completion, and students completed 3,146 English intervention course credit this past school year, which was a pretty big increase, almost double, 189% over prior year, due in part to the fact that all students were tracked as part of our intervention program. We believe that we did meet that LCAP goal, and we recommend continuing to offer our system of supports for students. Continuing to the second page of the Title I eval, which is on page 350, we see the qualitative evaluation. And the qualitative evaluation is based more on what we did to allocate, use, and ask for input on our Title I funding with the students and families at our school. The qualitative evaluation is based on our LCAP Goal 4, Action 4, which is parent engagement, and it is aimed at providing funding for meaningful and engaging parent events. This past year, we held PAC and ELAC meetings with a total of 113 participants at those meetings, which was an increase of 63% over prior year. Parent engagement has always been a struggle, and so seeing an improvement was heartening for our leadership and instructional teams. One other struggle that we had in a prior year was participation rates in the annual survey. We performed much better this past year with 370 parents taking the survey, which was a 506% increase over 21-22 school year. We also saw an increase in our annual survey results, wherein 85.14% of our families, our parents, felt encouraged to participate in the school as a stakeholder. And we believe that we've really tried to improve our communication, reach out more and ask for support through our PAC and ELAC. And we believe that's part of the reason we saw that improvement. And another area of growth this past year was our use of translation services at both PAC and ELAC meetings. We were able to provide translation services at all meetings, and we really did endeavor to have all meeting notices and minutes provided in both English and Spanish on our website and in our communication home to parents. Based on our qualitative evaluation, we are still going to make some changes. We have extended our time for completion of our annual family, student, and staff survey, we call it the climate survey. Even with the increases seen, we can do better this year. We hope to see a higher number this school year. We're also giving more open comment time for conversation during our PAC and ELAC meetings. Our meetings are all now held on-site with the virtual opportunities so that parents and students can attend virtually even if they can't make it to the site. And we are trying to offer staggered meeting times both during and after school hours. We can try to involve as many students and families as possible. Overall, Title I funding, it has been very helpful for Alta Vista. It has allowed us to increase our support for students over the past 2 years. We thank you for the time to present this report, and this does conclude my presentation today. Would any members of the school board have any questions or comments on my report?
Thank you. Any questions or comments for the board? Yeah, this is David Ratcliffe. I have a question on goal one, under what is not working and why. I'm looking at the numbers. Looks like you're saying you had an increase of 189% credits and 650% students participating. Am I reading that correctly?
That is correct. Yeah, the reason that there's a large number there is the fact that in the prior year, in the 21-22 school year, we were a targeted program. So what we did was we used our student relations manager. We identified students based on some data points, and then we tracked those students. This past year, we went school-wide, so the opportunity for intervention was presented to all students. We tracked data for all students, so that is what was leading to that large increase.
Okay, that would indicate that perhaps there are fewer credits per student being done?
I think if you were to look at the course, and if you'd like, I can come back with some more data if you'd like. If you look at the number of credits completed on average, not every student completes the full course of the intervention programs. For example, Read 1E has a parallel curriculum that we offer, and not all students complete that course. So not all students will show that they're taking intervention credits, even though they're completing Read 180. It's up to them if they want to take the English intensive course, which is the data point that we use to track this, versus continuing with the regular English. The intervention course itself is Read 180, but the data point that we track is the completion of intensive English, which not all students complete, even though they may be attending Read 180.
Okay, yeah, the reason I asked is because it's listed under what is not working and so on. But you're telling me the program's working, it's just a different way that you're doing the numbers.
Yeah, that's correct.
Thank you.
Overall, we have seen an improvement in the students' overall average Lexaw scores, and we believe that there's basically a bifurcation of the support. One is through our Read 180 system, the other one is through intensive tutoring, and I think we see that number, that increase in Lexaw score. That's the really heartening piece It's really the student's choice if they want to take intensive English or not. For some students that want to stay on the A through G track, that's their decision to stay on the A through G English, grade 9 through 12.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to action items. Item A, the board will be asked to approve the June 30th, 2023 annual audit report for the school, Gita Sharifi.
Thank you, board. Just like to bring attention to the document you're going to be reviewing today. We have Brian Hatley, who's the auditor, partner with Wilkinson, Hatley, and King, who has prepared the third-party audit for the school. It's their report, so I will defer to them to do the presentation. But you can also find the full audit on in your PDF packet on pages 352 to 399. Brian, are you here?
Yes.
Okay, I'll defer to Brian. Thank you.
I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to present the audit report at the board meeting today. I'm going to give a short overview of the audit report and just try to hit the very highlights. And then if the board has any questions, I'd be happy to answer those questions at the conclusion of my presentation. I just like the board to know that Wilkinson Hadley King is an approved auditor by the California State Controller's Office to perform K-12 audits for local education agencies. Approved auditors must comply with the California Department of Education and California State Controller audit guidelines. Any non-material items or recommendations are communicated to your audit team during the course of the audit. And so if we look at the audit report, if we turn to page number 2, which is the independent auditor's report on the financial statements, you'll see that on the financial statements portion of the audit, there's an unmodified opinion. That means that the financial statements fairly present the financial position of the school at June 30, 2023. The third highlight, the third bolded paragraph there is something new. It's an emphasis of matter paragraph that highlights two changes in accounting principle and policy. And this is something that, you know, they just include to bring to the reader of the financial statements, to bring it to your attention. The first change in policy related to the way leases are accounted for, and this applied to all governmental entities for this year. This is the first year that it was required to be accounted for this way, and you'll see that there's some changes in the financial statements the way that the leases are reported. The second one is a change in policy regarding the capitalization threshold for fixed assets. We had previously only capitalized them if the expenditure was over $5,000, and we've changed that capitalization threshold to $50,000. If you turn to page number 5 of the financial statements, this is the statement of financial position. In a non-governmental audit, that would be the balance sheet. It lists the assets and the liabilities, or the things that you own and the amounts that you owe other people. And you can see under the asset section, the three largest assets are cash of about $8.2 million at June 30, 2023. Accounts receivable were about $3.9 million at the end of the year. And then there's a new asset, and this has to do with those change in the way leases are recorded. There's a new asset for $15 million that was recorded, and it's under the right-of-use assets, operating leases, and it's for facilities and equipment. You'll see that there's we'll talk about that in a minute. And so those three things are the three largest assets on your statement of financial position. The total assets are about $26.9 million. And then if we turn down to the liabilities, the three largest liabilities are accounts payable of about $6.1 million, accrued payroll and related liabilities of $1.9 million, and then there's a leases payable, a new liability that we had to record for operating leases of $13.7 million. You'll see there's actually two new liabilities, one for leases payable operating, one for leases payable financing. The difference is under a financing lease, the school takes ownership of that, of the asset that's being leased at the end of the term. Under an operating lease, they do not. So that's the easiest way to keep them separate. And so your total liabilities are about $22.8 million. So if you take your total assets minus your total liabilities, you have what's called total net assets of $4,089,124. And of that $4 million, there's about $862,000 that are restricted for state programs, and we'll show that a little bit later. But that's a highlight of the statement of financial position. If you turn the page to the statement of activities, this is the governmental version of the income statement. This lists your income and expenses. In the middle of the page on the right-hand side, you see total revenue, support, and gains. That's your total income of $41,529,000. $790. And of that, you can see that the local control funding formula, the state aid, the education protection account, and property taxes make up the majority of that, $31.9 million of that. Your total expenditures are $40.7 million, and that leaves that leaves a change in net assets or net income of $810,054. If you turn the page to page number 7, this breaks out the expenses between program services or those expenses that are related to educational programs and supporting services that are management and general expenses. And you can see that 92% of your total expenditures, or $37,564,000 out of $40,719,000, are for educational programs, which is a very good percentage. You want to keep that percentage high in the school. If now we turn the page to page number 31 of the audit report, this is the accountant's opinion letter on controls, state compliance. There was one finding related to state compliance this year. And so the results of this letter are, there was a qualified opinion related to the non-classroom-based independent study requirements, and an unmodified opinion on the remainder of the state compliance items. And so we'll talk about what that finding is in just a minute, but this is a little different than you've seen in the past. There was, as I said, there was one finding related to state compliance, and we'll get to that. Well, let's just turn to that now. Let's turn to page number 36. This is the portion of the audit report that where the findings are listed, and the findings are things that need to be brought to the attention of the board or brought to the attention of the California Department of Education. And there was one finding, for an independent study charter school, there has to be a master agreement for each of the students that are receiving attendance. And the master agreement has to have certain items in it. The state lists a number of items that have to be recorded in each of the master agreements. And those items are called required elements. Well, this year on some of the master agreements, there was a clerical error that was made where there was a copy and paste done where one of the required elements was copied and pasted over another required element. And the result of that was that not all of the requirement of the required elements were listed in all of the independent study agreements. As a result of that, the attendance that was earned on those master agreements that did not contain all the required elements was disallowed on the audit report. Now, I want to talk to you about that, about the word disallow, but that ADA became a question cost and has to be reported to both the state controller and the California Department of Education. Now, what I want you to be critically aware of, and what I want you to be aware of, is there can't be anything that's done with regard to this finding until the state controller accepts this audit report. Once we submit it, the state controller goes through this checklist and they accept the audit report. And once that audit report is accepted, they will send the school a letter, and the school will have 30 days to file what's called a summary review. And what that is it's a review that they file with the Education Audit Appeals Panel. And the Education Audit Appeals Panel has the authority to take all the facts and circumstances into consideration. And, you know, it's been our experience that the Education Audit Appeals Panel doesn't want to penalize schools. I mean, all of the students received the same education that they would have received had all of the required elements been in all of the master agreements. And that's something that is in your favor. And so the Education Audit Appeals Panel will look at this summary review, and because the school substantially complied with the independent study requirements, they're we can't say for sure what they're going to do, but they're not going to take away all of that attendance. Okay. The thing that's in your favor is all of the students received the same education that they would have received had all the required elements been in the master agreement. And then, if the school does not agree with the results of the summary review, the school can file a formal appeal for the audit finding after that. But I'm sure that you may have some questions about that, but again, it's been our experience that the state does not want to penalize schools for a clerical error. And so, you need to take that into consideration when you're reading that finding. Now, does anybody have any questions about that they'd like me to go over?
Any questions or comments from the board? Oh, continue, please.
Okay, well, that really concludes my audit report. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you.
And also the last page where it reflects that there were no audit findings for last year. I think that's the only, so there was no response on the last year.
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. There are no questions or comments. May I have a motion to approve action item 5A? In that favor, I move to approve action item 5A.
Frank McCoss, I second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Dr. David Rathgaber, second by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber?
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Item B, the board will be asked to approve the 2023-2024 first interim report. Gita Shriti.
Thank you, Board. I'd like to bring the Board's attention to the first interim report for fiscal year 23-24. You can find Form 62, CDE, California Department of Education document in your packets as well on pages 401 and 409. As you all know, the first interim report is the first financial report for the school that reports the or the school's operations for the first 4 months of the school operations from July 1 through October 31st, 2023. This report includes financial information and ADA projections. The financial sections include original budget approved by the board in June in column A, the revised budget proposed for approval in column B, actuals to date in column C, and projected totals in column D that match the revised budget as they both share the same data and analysis in their development. The financial sections are also provides projections of the school reserves and its components at the year end. Now I'm going to highlight some of the sections of the report. We'll start with the last page of the report, which reflects the ADA or average daily attendance, which was used to develop the original school budget and the updated projection of ADA based on the current enrollment trends, which is used to prepare the revised budget. The school originally budgeted the P2 ADA of 2,029, and it is currently projecting a funding ADA of 2,320, a noticeable increase of 291 ADA that will have a positive impact on funding sources that are based on the current year's ADA. Now we're going to go back to the beginning of the report and review the revenues, and then I'll go over the expenditures. In the report, column A, as I mentioned, it shows the original budget. Column B shows the revised budget, and then with that includes the projected ADA. On the revenue section, we'll start on this fiscal year, it's projecting a total revenue of $43.6 million. This is $5.6 million higher than the school's original budget. This increase comes from multiple changes that impacted the school's revenue sources. We'll start with number one, which is the LCFF sources. It shows an increase in projected revenue of $4.8 million compared to the original budget. This source provides the biggest portion of the total revenue increase, and it's mainly due to the increase in projected funding ADA that I mentioned, that impacts the base and supplemental and concentration portion of the funding. Second is the federal revenue shows a decrease of from $837,000 to $683,000. This included a slight increase in federal SPED and decrease in Title I funds and the exclusion of special ed discretionary grants. And then thirdly is the other state revenue. It shows an increase from $2.4 million to $3.3 million. This increase comes from a combination of factors. There is a new funding, which is Proposition 28. It's arts and music in school programs, which is an ongoing funding source that started in fiscal year 23-24 that was added to the school's revised budget. This was not included in the original budget as there was not any specific funding information at the time of the budget development. And then another item, which is the special ed and lottery revenue, which was increased due to growth of projected ADA. Now, and then the fifth item, which is total other local revenues, that shows an increase of $25,000, which is coming from refunds. And then now we're going to go over expenses. That's Section B. On the expense side, the school is projecting total expenditures of $42.5 million, showing an increase of $4.9 million compared to the original budget. Salaries and benefits show an increase of $2.8 million, or 13%. This includes an increase in teacher certificated administrative salaries, classified instructional support, and administrative salaries, and small decrease in certificated support salaries. Budget for purchases increased from $1.5 million to $2.3 million, and it includes an increase in budget for school instructional materials and equipment spending. Budget for operating expenses increased by 7% from $13.6 million to $14.6 million, and it includes a small increase in training, utilities, insurance, and professional services, and a decrease in communications and facilities spending. After the current projection of revenue and expenditures, the school is anticipating an excess revenue of $1,037,709. The net position section in Section F of this document shows a beginning net position of $4 million with a projected excess revenue of $1 million. The school will end the fiscal year 23-24 with a projected net position of $5 million. Of this total reserve, $167,000 is in capital assets, and about $680,000 is restricted. The projected ending unrestricted net position of $4.2 million will be equal to about 10% of the total annual expenditure, which is still very healthy for the school. And that concludes my report. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? If not, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5B? Mr. Ratgaber, I move we approve action item 5B. Thank you.
Frank Picasso, I second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Dr. David Ratgaber, seconded by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
And Dr. David Ratgaber?
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Item C, board will be asked to review and approve the Wilkinson, Hathaway & King & Company, LLP, prepare the school's 2022 Form 990 return of organization exempt from income tax. Dina Schlieffen.
Thank you, board. I'd like to bring your direct attention to the engagement letter. It is also in your packet. This is from Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company, LLP. They're the same firm that does the third-party audit for the school to prepare the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2023, federal return of organization exempt from income tax Form 990 and its related federal statements and schedules, as well as California exempt organization annual information return Form 199, with its related statements and schedules. And then also this document does reflect the preparation fee, which is $1,350. It should be on the second page, which just so that the board is aware, their price has only increased by $50. Last year the fee was $1,300. Well, at this point, I would like to recommend to the board Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company, LLP, to prepare the school's Form 990 and other related tax forms and documents for fiscal year ending 2023. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5C. David Ratgaber, I move we approve action item 5C. Thank you.
Frank Picasso, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Dr. David Ratgaber, seconded by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Frank Picasso?
Aye.
And Dr. David Ratgaber?
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Item D, the board will be asked to approve the Proposition 28, Arts and Music in Schools Plan. And I'm not sure who's giving that one.
That would be Ken Larson again. Thank you very much, board, for your time. As you know, in 2022, the voters of the state of California approved Proposition 28 with the intent to bring arts and music back into our schools, which had been reduced due to funding shortages over quite a number of years. This has resulted in money being made available. We merely need to accept it. We're asking that the board please accept our plan for the arts and music in schools, our AMS plan, and we will receive $361,798. This program, 80% of which for any school that has over 500 students, needs to go towards classified teachers, personnel, and other teaching aids to help teach in the many different areas of art and music, But these funds will be able to be used for instruction, training, supplies, and materials in everything from dance to computer coding to animation to visual art to folk dancing to all the things we remember so fondly from when we were in school. So we would ask the board if they would please accept this plan so we can move forward with this. And the cool part about this is it's ongoing, and we have 3 years in which to spend it, but we get more next year, and then the next year, and the next year. So looking forward to bringing arts and music back to the students.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5D.
David Rathgaber, move we approve action item 5D.
Frank Picasso, I second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Dr. David Rathgaber, seconded by Frank Picasso. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudia Beck.
Aye.
Frank Picasso.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgaber.
Aye.
Passes with 4 yes votes. Item 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Well, thank you very much, President Adams. After looking out the Learning Center report with all of these learning centers, it's kind of hard for me to say anything in addition, but I really want to thank Sherry Cole and Ken for giving us this overall report. And I'd like to take this moment to make a personal statement. We're entering our holiday season and kick off with Thanksgiving Day, and I had to think about what I was thankful for, and I'm thankful for working with this board here. It's been wonderful so far. I'm sure it'll go on continuously. And serving those folks out there, I feel honored to be able to be in this position to work with all of those wonderful people out there doing those jobs. Those teachers, those kids, those front office, everyone else that works with us. So thank you all so much. I'm thankful for it. You all have a wonderful, happy holiday. Back to you.
Thank you. Ms. Vincent.
Well, President Adams, I do not know how to follow that. Thank you, Mr. Brown. I know that's heartfelt, and I concur very much. I'd like to just give Ken and the entire staff a shout-out on the FAFSA. You know, our students, many of them don't even know that community college or university is available for them. So bravo, right? Bravo. And the FAFSA is it's a hurdle for many, and many don't apply simply because of its complexity. So thumbs up on that. And Ken, worked with you for a lot of years, construction's in your heart. You couldn't have put a hard hat on, a yellow hard hat, and dressed up. I mean, seriously? Anyway. And a question for you, Ken. Is construction an art?
In its truest form, it absolutely is, because you create something that is there forever.
Absolutely, sir. And then just one more shout out to all of you. Our obligation to our students is to move the needle. And if we move the needle 17%, we're moving the needle. And I appreciate that. And children are learning in our program, and youth are learning, and that's what it's all about. So thank you all.
Thank you. Does any board member have any observations and comments at this time?
I'd just like to say that, one, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be on this board, but from the brief today, it's always good to hear that we are supporting those kids that are interested in the trades. Too often they're treated like second-class citizens, or they don't contribute as much to society. But I'll tell you that our society has plenty of business majors, history majors, medieval literature majors, political science majors. We don't have enough plumbers and construction workers, and anyone who's tried to get one knows that they're hard to come by. So really appreciate supporting those kids and making them feel special.
Any other board member with observations?
I'd like to just add on to everything that everybody else has said. One thing that stood out to me, Sherry, I don't remember who you said facilitated this, but you were the one who shared it. It was on the DAC screen that there were a group of students who opened bank accounts. And I hope that we can do more of that because as a youngster, well, first of all, as an adult, sometimes navigating those big institutions and systems is tough. But as a youngster, even more difficult. So I loved, loved seeing that. That was something we don't normally see. Great, thank you.
Any other observations and comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 7, closed session. This time, I'd like to request a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting to go into closed session for public employee performance evaluation under Government Code Section 54957B1, titled Superintendent. Thank you for that motion.
Dave Rathgear, I move we adjourn the open public board meeting to go into closed session.
Thank you.
Frank Lucas, I'll second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Dr. David Rathgear, seconded by Frank Lucas. Any further discussion? Roll call vote. Michael Adams is aye. Claudette Beck.
Aye.
Frank Lucas.
Aye.
And Dr. David Rathgear.
Aye.
That passes with 4 yes votes. We are now in closed session.